live from the city.
Brother, what's up?
This is a groovy party, man.
Yeah, brother, like solid. Right on.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. It's finally Friday.
Yeah, it's finally Friday, man, and it's overcast. Yesterday, the sun was shining, and you see the difference just in that.
Gloom.
But anyway, that's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you, Earl?
All right. I want to get right to the phone lines, and my good friend, County Executive David Crowley, is on the line. Thank you very much, Executive Crowley. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. Hope you're doing all right.
I am, man. Listen, man, there's no point in beating around the bush. I just heard Robin Voss on a different radio station, and we need to hear you and the mayor have been in communications or discussions with is it safe to say the county executive for months now?
Yeah, for months. We've been having some conversations with Republican leadership, Democratic leadership, as well as the governor's office about just the need as it relates to the need for more local revenue for the city and the county. And it's been some tough negotiations. And yes, a bill has been introduced, but I would definitely tell you that this is not the finish line. We still have some runway ahead of us as it relates to getting something that cannot just be palatable, not just here in the city of Milwaukee, but palatable across the state and something that the governor can sign.
So for people who don't know Executive Crowley, what's at stake and what the debate really is about, can you sum it up in, you know, as few words as possible?
Absolutely. Well, we will no longer have local dollars for local priorities. When you think about the state mandates, because we are an extension of the state as counties, the state can actually say that we have to provide certain services. And so when you think about, for example, mandated services around public safety, Milwaukee County spends about $137 million per year. And that can include expressway patrol, that can include, helping law enforcement respond to crime and emergency, utilizing our radio supports to coordinate emergencies. But this also relates to our youth detention, our remote bail processing. And so without any extra dollars, it's going to be very difficult for us to invest in other quality of life services like parks, like public transit, senior services, disability services, cultural arts, and so on and so forth.
So for people who don't know, and long before you became the county executive, the county gave up a lot of its assets because it could no longer maintain those assets. And as a young boy, as a young man, I remember all those great assets that the county had. For people who want to say that the county needs to work hard at reducing things and cutting back, the county has just basically cut itself to the bare bone. Is it safe to say that?
Oh, it's absolutely safe to say that. I mean, over the past 12 years, we have had to cut about $300 million in expenditures. And that's direct. Those are dollars and resources that directly support many different types of programs and services. And so when people say cut, there's no more fat to cut. We'll be literally cutting off, you know, some of our major limbs and some of the major programs and services that people rely on. So there isn't an issue as it relates to how we actually spend money. The issue is how we are able to collect money, because we are severely limited on how we're able to actually increase revenues locally across the state.
Yeah, exactly. This is Sandy Williams. That was the question I was going to ask. Clearly, the county's between a rock and a hard spot. Expenses going up, requirements going up, but you have some absolute limits on how you can collect money and how much you can collect, right? I mean, the state-imposed limits as well as just practical limits.
Oh, absolutely. You know, some people will say, well, you know, you can raise some fees, but you know, we can't raise fees in order to fill this $109 million gap that we're going to be seeing in the next couple of years. We can look at the registration fee, right? The vehicle registration fee, which is one of the tools that we have to our disposal. It's already $30 here in Milwaukee. But even if we were to raise that, we would still be limited on how we can actually invest those dollars. And so, we, you know, some people will say, well, you can raise property taxes. Well, we have some of the highest property taxes currently. And when you think about us being one of the economic engines of the state, attracting tourism, we want to be able to leverage our economic activity. And that's one of the reasons why we focused on a local option sales tax. It gives us the ability to fix the problem that we have here locally at scale. But it also gives us the opportunity to really capture those dollars that people outside of Milwaukee County who don't reside in Milwaukee County, but when they come and visit and they play here, you know, those dollars are going towards those services, and we are able to invest it back into neighborhoods and communities.
You know, County Executive Crowley, none of this is new. And those of us mm-hmm. who've been around here a long time knew that this has been projected for years if something wasn't done.
Yes.
Your thoughts on the revenue sharing and even though those who came before you and came before Mayor Johnson tried to get the state to look at this from a different perspective, you guys have been sitting down meeting now for quite a while. Your thoughts on, you know, what's been happening?
Absolutely. So, you know, for me, it's been more than months. You know, I still go back to, I believe, 2019, 2020, when we had the ability to actually get a hearing on this bill when I was still a state representative. And people looked at me crazy when I said that this has to be our number one priority when I was sworn in as county executive. But what I will tell you is that I first and foremost want to be able to acknowledge the fact that this is historic, not just for the city of Milwaukee County, but for the entire state, because it has taken almost 20 years to get to this point, to have a conversation, to get more revenues into local communities who are on the front lines for residents all across the state, right? And so I would say that that is a good thing, that we are making progress with the conversation. But we, again, we also have to acknowledge that this is not the finish line. You know, we still have a lot of negotiating to do. We know that there's still some things within this bill that gives not just us heartburn in the Milwaukee area, but folks across the state heartburn as well. And so it is my goal that we continue to work with all four caucuses in the Assembly and in the Senate, as well as the governor's office, in making sure that we can actually craft something that puts municipalities back in the driver's seat. We don't have the resources, and so we need as much as possible to make sure that we are filling our gas, that we are being made whole. Because, again, when you think about local government, we're the ones that's filling the potholes. We're the ones picking up the garbage. We're the ones, you know, responding to emergency services. And so it's important that local governments have that ability, because we're the ones who respond to the needs of our communities first and foremost before any other level.
So Executive Crowley, before Sandy chimes in again, I think it's important to understand if for people in the listening audience. Sandy, you were, is it corporate counsel for?
No, I was legal counsel to Governor Pat Lucey, who was a name from a long past, but actually he, during his administration, revised the state revenue sharing program to make it much more beneficial to municipalities and local school districts, particularly in larger metropolitan areas. And those policies have been retreated from over the past decades, to the point where we are now at this current situation where home rule, which is sort of a fundamental concept of having localities be able to make choices, is being interfered with at the state level, but also the capacity of localities to raise money is severely limited. The best tax collector in Wisconsin is the state of Wisconsin, and yet the way they share revenues tends to ignore the fact that dense areas of denser population have higher costs, okay, and they have different problems that they face. And so the unwillingness of the state to share money with denser population areas is creating the rock and hard spot that the county, I think that's true, isn't it, County Executive? I mean, that's my perception.
That is absolutely true. I mean, You know, there was a point in time where, you know, when you think about shared revenue, where it was paying for different types of services, where you were able to make other types of investments through property taxes and other fees that you collected. But that's no longer the case. I mean, we can only raise property taxes based off of net new construction, or it's capped at 1%. And so that's what creates that structural deficit. And you factor in inflation, even if you don't factor in the inflationary period that we've just seen, our cost grows at about 2% a year, yet we're only able to grow our revenues at 1%. So this structurally doesn't even work for us. And we can just imagine how this is affecting rural communities all across the state of Wisconsin. The only difference between Milwaukee and some of these other places is just a few more zeros.
Well, that's the case, and also the status of growth in the history of Milwaukee County during the 50s and 60s, where there was rapid growth, and when you're growing, the revenue base grows actually mm-hmm. faster than the requirements. So you sort of have a surplus of capacity to spend money on things, our park systems and all the things we build up.
Correct.
And our boundaries, our municipal boundaries, have set up the situation in which we now have static populations in these denser population areas, so we don't have revenue growth in the same way. And I'm alarmed at the notion that the state is going to look at that situation, which is to some extent the result of history and historical boundaries, and then hold the localities captive to the policies that are dictated by at the state level. How can the state understand how many police there ought to be in the city of Milwaukee, or how can they dictate requirements that police be in schools, for instance? These things are alarming to me because it strikes me as a dabbling in locality issues, and I'm afraid that, unfortunately, they have a gun to your head with respect to these issues.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate that, you know, because, you know, for almost two decades, we've always heard about, you know, local control. But we've also seen the preemption of local control.
Executive Crowley, can you hang on 1 second, man?
Sure.
All right, we got to go to a break. On the line, I'm so happy that my good friend, County Executive David Crowley, has agreed to appear. We've got to go to a break. Sandy Williams, it's Friday, and we'll be right back. Right.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know.
Urban music.
Downtown. Just listen to the
early urban show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. On the line, County Executive David Crowley. County Executive Crowley, would you be willing to take a phone call?
Sure.
All right, let's go, Dave from Mequon. Quickly, Dave.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Crowley, thank you for being on Earl's show today. And I just wanted to ask you a couple questions directly, if you don't mind. And my first question is this. Obviously, I used to reside in Milwaukee County for most of my life. I'm now in Ozaukee County. And one of the reasons why I decided to move was the fact that property taxes were extremely high. And if you remember, I'm sure you do, Tom Amend, way back when, at the turn of, you know, basically around year 2000 or so, so over 20-some-odd years ago, there was a huge pension county. And my question to you is, how much is the county still paying on that today? Because that has that single individual, unfortunately, I mean, he did a lot of damage to county as far as putting it in the hole. I understand his argument with the 1% cap, but I'm curious about that. And then the other thing is, do you think the county really should be investing all this money into a brand new county museum, which is only going to be one third the size of the current facility? I understand it's the current one is obviously in need of repairs, but I just don't see why the county might not even just hand that off and just have a private entity just take
Okay, Dave. I don't know what that has to do with, you know, what we're talking about, but let's do it anyway. Thank you very much for the call.
I can answer that one, too. Okay, go ahead. That'll be fine. So I'll answer the public museum one first, which is, so in the 90s, if I'm not mistaken, so it is operated by a nonprofit. So it was standoff in the 90s, if I'm not mistaken, as far as the public museum. And so it is actually operated by a separate entity. But Milwaukee County, we still own all of those artifacts. We still own all of the collections. And so when you think about that cost, we will still be having some type of cost as it relates to how we take care of these collections, how we store these collections. And we wanted to also make sure that we were contributing and making sure that we have a public museum right here. And so that was important. But when we think about the pension, I can't speak to directly how much related to Tom Ament is costing us. But what I can tell you is that, you know, we're looking at billions of dollars of reform when we think about our pension system and what we're trying to do with the soft freeze. I can tell you that we're still paying off back from when, you know, a county executive, Scott Walker, in 2009, took out about $400 million, if I'm not mistaken, in pension obligation bonds, which we are also still paying towards. So we are paying towards the unfunded liability, and we're also paying towards the pension obligation bonds at the same time. And it's costing us, it'll be costing us both of those things, because it was close to north of $100 million per year. So for us, the pension is a large part of this as well. But again, we still have a revenue issue. Pension is a part of it. But again, at the end of the day, if we're not going to be bringing in enough money, it's going to be hard for us to invest in, those programs and services.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, my understanding, and I've got a son who's a real estate developer who tells me about this as well, is that the real problem urban localities have, is this notion of revenue sourcing, and that leaving them only with the property tax is like creating the downward spiral that urban localities really can't afford to face. And that the state holds the keys to all these other revenue sources, and yet they don't seem to open them up very easily. So, you know, you get the 2%, you get the sales tax to support the stadium, but you don't get sales taxes or other kinds of taxes that you can use for all of these other requirements. And so, you know, I think the public needs to be better understand all of these financial issues. You know, Dave calls and asks about the museum, but you know, the museum is a pea in the pod in terms of the financial issues you face. Furthermore, the museum is being operated by a not-for-profit group that has lots of wisdom about how best to carry out this program, and I know that they're very excited about the new location. So,
you know, kind of Executive Crowley, I know you got to go, man. I really do appreciate you taking this time out, man. You know, you're one in a million. As I said many times before, for people who may not know, and you and I go way back, and I always said in the early stages of your political career that you were my favorite elected official. You remember those times?
I do remember. I do remember.
And man, you still are. And so you've got a tough road to hoe, but they got the right guy doing it. The fact that you and the mayor, two very young men who at a time, a very impactful time in the county and the city's future. I'm comfortable having the two of you young guys there.
I appreciate you, Earl. We appreciate what you do on the radio as well. And Sandy, keep an eye on Earl, all right?
He needs to be watched. You're right.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, County Executive Crowley. Kiss the wife and the kids.
I will. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk soon. Got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. We'll be back.
there. We can forget all our troubles, forget all our cares. So go downtown, things will be great when you're downtown. Don't wait a minute more, downtown. Everything's waiting for you. Problem is all inside your head, she said to me. The answer is easy if you take it logically. I'd like to help you in your struggle to be free. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover. She said it's really not
back,
my
Jack.
Habit to intrude. Furthermore, I hope my meaning won't be lost or misconstrued. But I'll repeat myself. At the risk of being crude, there must be 50 ways to leave your lover.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And Sandy, You know, David Crowley, the county executive, is a young man that I admire and respect tremendously. And, you know, he's a guy who's willing to answer the questions and not duck. And so, you know, he's never once said, no, I'm not going to appear. I reached out to the governor's office. I'm sure next week, Sandy, we'll have the governor on to talk about the issues, the mayor, to talk about the issues. You and I were talking off the air about just what's going on here, right? I mean, it's the average person, myself included, we don't know the inner workings of these things. What's going on?
Well, it, really what's going on is the notion of growth, first of all. Growing communities have a real advantage financially because, for instance, Milwaukee County from 1920 to 1975 or 80 was a growing place, okay? So every year they were adding tax base, and they were adding tax base faster than they were having increases in expenditures. And so the taxes didn't have to go up for a very long time in order to support a vibrant kind of a bunch of corporate services or county services. So we built parks. And we had a very robust kind of development in Milwaukee County. But when that property tax base growth slows down, so it's not growing faster than the increase in cost driven by inflation or driven by the impact of density, okay? The difference between Ozaukee County and Milwaukee County, just look at the differences. Does Ozaukee County have a is there an Ozaukee County transit system? No. Is there a big Ozaukee County jail or a police department that has many members in it that relate to the municipalities in Ozaukee County? No. So you can list all kinds of things. Does Ozaukee County have a mental health service program that's expensive that deals with a dense population? No. Ozaukee County has a fairly very homogeneous population. It has a much different situation, and it has rapidly growing tax base. You know, Mequon has been a rapidly growing community until very recently, adding expensive homes every year, adding property taxes. So property taxes work when you have growing communities, but when you have static communities, property taxes don't work. And what everyone understands is that value-added taxes like what's predominant in Europe, but also what we call sales taxes, are a very effective generator of revenue that are somewhat regressive, but at least spread the burden and create a very predictable and growing tax base, as well as income taxes. And in dense population areas like Milwaukee, we generate income tax growth much more rapidly than we generate property tax growth. And so the state government dictates how our localities can raise money. They're the ones who decide how they can, whether they can use a sales tax. That's a vehicle of the state, and they dictate whether it can be imposed. And so we've got this urban-rural ongoing battle that's developed over the last 40 years, 50 years, to a pitch that we now have the capacity of the state to actually strangle localities from money because they control the purse strings, leaving the localities only with property taxes, which if you don't have a rapidly growing property tax base, is like putting a gun to your head as a locality. To increase your property taxes regularly causes people to do exactly what Dave said he did.
Leave, yeah.
When he left the North Shore of Milwaukee County to move to Mequon. And anyone who's in the housing market buying a house can easily see the difference in property taxes if they simply move beyond the county line road to the north, or as they move west of Highway 100 into Waukesha County.
You know, Sandy, so this is not a situation that's just germane to Milwaukee County and the state of Wisconsin. This is a battlefield all over this nation.
It's all over the nation, and it has to do with this maturity of communities. We have static geographic municipal boundaries, and when those municipal boundaries get filled up with people and the growth comes to a bit of a slowdown, you end up with this problem. It's mathematical. It's not sociological. It's mathematical, and so the inability, or the maybe it's the fact that the state government enjoys having this leverage over localities. It must be fun to tinker at the state level with policies within the cities. I mean, to have Robin Voss or people at the state level telling the city of Milwaukee how many policemen to have or where to locate them is to defy the whole notion of home rule. Home rule being premised on the fact that, you know, this notion is all people always talk about, all politics is local. And everyone does understand that the more local the politics, the more say each citizen has in what the outcome shall be. And so county politics was designed to divide the state up into jurisdictions in which localities would have the capacity to deal with their local problems. Okay.
So Sandy, if and I'm hearing you clearly, even if we can figure out a way or something happens to arrest the situation where the county and the city are right now, barring something over and above what we're talking about now, they'll be right back.
Yes. It's an architecture. It's like a what we would call a government architecture problem. They have to, if the state were to hand over to the city and the county some property tax, some sales tax opportunities, that they could set sales taxes that would derive revenue directly for the locality, the county or the city, that would be an architectural change that could lance this boil, this financial problem that municipalities have. But let me say, Milwaukee's the first to reach this kind of status, but most of Southeast Wisconsin, I mean, Racine has got more potential for growth. Kenosha has the growth that they're getting from south of the state boundary, people moving up into that area. Milwaukee has, and Milwaukee is you know, has worked hard at experiencing as much growth as possible, and you can go see around it, Milwaukee right. County and see the efforts that have gone into it, but those efforts can't do it. You know, because of these, it's really a mathematical problem. And as hard as the county will work at growth, it will achieve growth, but it won't be able to achieve growth that exceeds its expenditure requirements.
So it can't. The fact that Milwaukee County continues to lose people, and these suburban areas continue to grow.
Well, but incidentally, one of the reasons Milwaukee County is losing people is the David issue, right? Mequon, one of the reasons Mequon has thrived as it has is that it's possible to live in a grand house in Mequon with lower property taxes than the less grand house.
And take advantage of the amenities and that the city has.
Take advantage. You aren't moving out of Milwaukee. Most of those people say they live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, okay?
Right.
And they do live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and they go to the museum, and they go to the Bucks games, and they go to all these things that are supported and costs of which are borne by the locality. If Milwaukee as a city didn't exist, it's the jewel in the crown. And if you took that jewel out of the crown, Mequon would be a worthless group of McMansions.
You know, Sandy, the governor clearly sees all of these things clearly. And no matter what Robin Voss and others at the state level are trying to concoct, the governor came out and said, listen, I'm vetoing those things because it's not enough. The resources that they're talking about allowing the city and Milwaukee County. So the mayor, Sandy, says, we don't want a referendum on whether or not we should be able to raise the sales tax because that could go down. And if people say no to the referendum, where does it leave the city?
Mm-hmm.
And if the state really wanted to make a difference and help the city, if Robin Voss was serious about looking to help the city, he wouldn't have put it to a referendum. He would have given the city an opportunity to make those decisions inside of the city, right?
Well, yeah. And, you know, the problem is that this whole thing smells just like the federal the debt ceiling problem.
Okay? Yes, same thing.
It's exactly the same problem, okay? We've got inevitabilities occurring, and yet we have these constraints associated with the capacity of the locality to raise money. Federal level, the debt ceiling is the capacity of the government to borrow money. And at the local level, because, you know, the states have a balanced budget requirement generally. So all budgets in the state have to balance because they don't have the capacity to borrow for deficits. So it's a lot harder to play that game at the local level. And these constraints are the rubber hits the road in a very significant way, you know. The notion that the state would hold these localities essentially ransom and allow them only to resort to the property tax in the situation in which the localities have achieved this low growth situation, which incidentally I did not realize that the county exec of Waukesha is talking about the very same problem.
Thing. But the exact same
it
thing.
Is an inevitable problem as areas reach their growth potential within the geographic boundaries that were defined long ago, okay? The city of Milwaukee's boundaries were drawn long ago. They expanded them in the 50s. They took over Granville and some annex stuff, but all of that's over. And the boundary of the city of Milwaukee is set. The boundary of Milwaukee County is set. So their situation within those boundaries is subject to the mature growth syndrome.
So, Sandy, what would the state lose if they were willing to do the right thing? I mean, let's say the revenue sharing was worked out properly.
Mm-hmm.
Where would the state lose in that situation?
You know, sometimes I watch the politics in the state of Wisconsin and wonder why it is that it looks so much like there's a saying about the dog in the manger where you hurt the other guy for no purpose. Because it isn't helping you, you just hurt the other guy. And it's a little bit like, what did the state have to lose by approving the high-speed rail from Chicago to Madison? The expense of that was, I think the reason that it was given was it might be a deficit of $8 million a year that it would run, and that would have to be subsidized. I every day I drive here and I realize that that we in Wisconsin have decided to spend $750 million to add lanes.
Roads.
To add one lane of traffic going each way on I-43 going north from Milwaukee from Capitol Drive into Mequon. And what is that all about? What kind of a triage of expenditures? I mean, I'm upset about the defense budget decision. We've decided to spend $750 million to convenience people who commute to the North Shore. And really, it's extraordinary, you know. And yet we turn down that railroad. We also find ourselves in this current situation of the state trying to hold Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee hostage.
You know, we've got to go to a break, Tom, David. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That's Fridays with Sandy Williams. I'm always glad he's here. We'll be right back. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That's Fridays with Sandy Williams and, a white-hot discussion going on locally about what's happening at the state level and revenue. Let's go to Tom from LA. Hey, good morning, Tom. Thank you. You say what, sir?
Yes. First, we the people are the government, ultimately, and I hope everybody wakes up and realizes this. Here are the problems. The problems are Republicans are complete liars. They are not someone, obviously, that believes in local control, like they say they supposedly do. They apparently don't like the big foot of federal government, but they sure love it when state government comes in and controls everything that happens in these areas. And for all of these people who call in and say, oh, state government, you know, they should be calling in and saying, I thought government closest to the people was the part that had the control. But they're all worried, or all they want to say is how bad Milwaukee City government was planned when it's all actually being given money by the state. So that's number one. Number two, we have a real problem in this country with privatizing and public of this country. Nobody knows the difference. And the truth is, private is about a private owner. It's about profit. It is all about that private owner being able to use the government through these stupid partnerships of public and private, which of course helps the politician out, because then they can say that the small business guy or the gigantic business person is behind them. The third thing is, we have monopolies in this country. That's what we have. What happened to the Anti-Sherman Trust Act, where we couldn't have people owning so much? Like I was talking about yesterday to Mr. Ken from Sturgeon Bay or wherever he's from. He thinks that because Milwaukee has Walmarts there, that money's going back into Milwaukee. It's not. It's going to Arkansas, where it's just where their corporate headquarters are. You can go anywhere in this country. Before Reagan, you could go into different places throughout this country, and they didn't look identical to other places in this country. Now you can go to Eau Claire, Wisconsin. You can go to Milwaukee. You can go to Los Angeles. You can go anywhere, and you're going to see these big box stores that are all basically, of course, going bankrupt anyway. But you don't have any type of local. So all you Republicans out there, stop with your BS about local control, because you don't care about local control. If you cared about local control, you would be giving the money to the mom-and-pop small businesses that actually put the money back into the community that you live, and you wouldn't have the problems that you have.
Hey, Tom, tell us how you really feel. Let's go to David. Thank you. David from Mequon. David, you're back. You say what, sir?
Hey, Earl. I want to respond to Sandy really quickly. In regards with I-43, I want to correct you on that project. You said it was $750 million.
Yeah.
It's $550 million,
well,
just to let you know.
It's still a half a billion dollars.
Let me finish my point. It's on wisconsindot.gov. Now, keep in mind, Governor Evers is the one who signed off on that, just so you know. But that being the case, if you look at the 14 miles, so it's basically going from where Capitol Drive is out to 60 in Grafton.
Yeah.
And so that pavement is 50 years old, and that is a modernization. It's not just adding a lane, Sandy. If you look, there's six interchanges that are being modernized for safety purposes.
Let's not get down into the swamp here. The fact is that we're spending, okay, and I'll buy your $550 million. I was told $750 by someone else, but I didn't read it.
Well, I inflated it.
Yeah, but the $550 is the fact is that if they were simply repaving it, it wouldn't cost anywhere near that amount. The fact is that it's the cost of this is the addition of the lane on both sides, which solves a bottleneck problem that occurs at Good Hope Road and North. I'm very familiar with it, but it's all this is all a case of triaging how we spend money. Let's just call a spade here, and that $550 million could be devoted to other sources. There, it's going to have to be, you know, money's green, money's money. And this money is going to be raised, some of it, much of it federally, some of it from the state, but it all comes from the people and along Tom's line. And so I just think that when we make these kind of big expenditures, and whether Governor Evers was the culprit who signed off on it or not, I also would fault President Biden for signing off on our federal defense budget. We're making decisions on how we spend money in this country in ways that don't match the problem sets that Tom, Dick, and Mary face. That's my point, okay? And we can talk about the merits of this improvement of the road, but the ultimate premise of it is that those roads are so important and that they require us to expend that kind of money. And if all that was occurring on those roads was the truck travel between Green Bay and Milwaukee, we wouldn't face this expenditure.
Well, let me just say it to you this way, Sandy. I agree with you on some of what you're saying, but I am emphasizing the fact that, again, obviously there is a lane being added because there has been growth going north, even past Mequon, Grafton, Saukville, Port Washington.
Dave, but I think what Sandy is saying is there are clearly areas and places that money could have been better utilized.
Well, and the other point is that city and planners would tell you that if you build the lane, they will come. Roads get congested. You can look at Los Angeles or any other place, and when you add lanes, the lanes get filled. And half of the reason for urban sprawl is that we facilitated it with the forms of transportation that we've created. So that, you know, what we're really facilitating with that third lane is the sprawl of Milwaukee County to extend further north.
So Jim from Eden, hang on. We've got to go to a break. We'll come to you, I promise you. It's Friday. It's Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.